This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over!
All right, Play Tessie, back for another one, episode 312 on a Monday morning for you guys. Appreciate you tuning in. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, rate 5 stars. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Sammy's here, Pat's here, Gordo with you guys. Recording this episode, full disclosure, it's the afternoon. It's before the Patriots game. If the Red Sox make a trade tonight, that's on them. I'm mad at them for that. Don't do it tonight. Let us have this. It's not going to be like that time where it was like the winter meetings and we recorded an episode at like, I don't know, like 9:30 p.m. And the second it was over, they traded Alex Verdugo to the Yankees.
Oh, that was worth it. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Like you got an emergency pod in that case. But it's like, come on, guys. Like,
this would be the ultimate time for the Red Sox to like trade Yoshida and attach a good prospect to him and anger everybody because you could have just DFA'd the guy, but they're not willing to eat the money. That's the kind of move that the Red Sox would make on a snowstorm Patriots AFC championship type of day.
Oh, when is this best time to like make us? It's a Patriots. It's a big Patriots game, right? That's the best time to make a
honestly,
move like that.
You want to know? Like, this is really dark. If there's like a really bad natural disaster or if something awful happens in the news that's serious, that would be the best time because people are distracted by more important things. Sorry if that's dark, but that's the answer right there. Like if there's it's like an awful news story, then you can dump Yoshida with a prospect attached and nobody's going to blink an eye because they're focused on more important things.
So basically what you're saying is they're going to dump Yoshida today because you got
Oh, yeah, true. Wait, what are you talking about?
There was a big story on Saturday.
Oh, true. Yeah, but they missed it. That's the news cycle. It moves too fast.
But they were trying to combine that and Patriots. And that's the recipe to dump Jordan Hicks.
What story am I missing here?
It's heavy news stuff.
Oh, duh. I thought you meant sports-wise.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not even joking. When there's like a tragedy or something, that would be when the Red Sox would do like a salary dump with a prospect attached. And they're like, oh, it's just a coincidental timing.
I thought you were talking about the dude who got fired from SNY. Did you guys see that thing?
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
No.
It's fucked up. Like one of their, I think it was their TV producer. SNY is like premier in terms of like their on-air stuff. They do an excellent job. And I think it was one of the producers or directors, someone who's in charge
of
video.
Been there forever. Been there like for decades.
Stepped down, whatever. And he's like, oh, creative differences. People are like, what the fuck? Like, this sucks. The Mets offseason, blah, blah, blah. And then it comes out that he like knocked up a coworker's daughter or something.
Ooh,
crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard about
disgusting.
That.
Disgusting.
But that's not like a tragedy, like something awful happening. That's bad. But that's not like that in Boston.
Sammy,
if that happened, it wouldn't disguise the Red Sox enough.
What you're saying is something that makes us think, oh, wow, sports actually aren't that important.
Well, like sports that. Are important, but like if a hurricane hit your house and you lost everything and people are dying and stuff,
we'll
that's more important. Yeah, yeah,
nope.
Yeah.
Are you guys saying that the Red Sox would be the equivalent of Nick Castellanos?
Yes.
Oh. Huh.
Yes.
Well, no, hold on. Because Nick Castellanos masks the bad things with something good. Like he hits a run.
Well,
I think that's a crazy way to put that. Like if there were
okay,
if there,
you know what I mean though.
If there was like a building that collapsed, like a building in Boston just collapses and nobody can figure out who did it, and then it comes out like, oh, it was Jordan Hicks all along. He rigged the building. That would be kind of like that. Like if Jordan Hicks was a pyromaniac and lit a building on fire with dynamite.
What a dark turn the start of the show has begun.
I was going to say, we have no idea how these shows are gonna start or how they're going to go every week. Like, I feel like we enter these pods like knowing generally like the like a few of the topics that we want to get into. Like, we're going to talk about like who the Red Sox are going to potentially trade for and like if they're going to prioritize defense, kind of like they're saying. Like, we're going to talk about all that stuff. We have no idea the rest of the podcast. And so we end up talking about Jordan Hicks lighting buildings on fire.
To help the Red Sox with a news dump.
Yeah, that's true. And the news dump could be related to Jordan Hicks. Like, he lights a building on fire so the Red Sox can trade Jordan Hicks back to the Giants.
We had to DFA the guy. He burnt down a building. And he sucks.
So who do you guys think the Red Sox are going to trade for?
maybe Alex Bregman.
No, dude, he's making too much money. And he has no trade clause, dude.
I can't stand that guy, dude. He wants to do what's best for his family. Get out of here. Go burn down a building. You want to play for my team, the Sox? Iroh.
Dude, if he wanted to play for the Red Sox, he wouldn't care about the no trade clause. Put the team first.
You know what's crazy? There are people who actually think like that, genuinely.
Yeah. If he wanted to be here,
you got to be so far, so deeply, deeply embedded in your cavernous ass to actually think that a player should operate like that, because that's your favorite team.
Listen, man, he wanted to be here so badly. He wanted to be here so badly that he just wanted a clause in his contract so you couldn't rip him away from it.
Sorry, cavernous ass. Fucking.
That was a colorful description.
Cavernous ass killed me.
But jokes aside, the more we talk about like the who says no, Ezekiel Tovar, and we're like, oh yeah, good defense. The bat, he strikes out too much, but he's got upside. Then you can look at Nico Horner. Oh my God, what an unbelievable glove. The bat is average. Every conversation we have about who can fill in for this void, this cavernous void that Bregman has left. None of them are as good as Bregman. The fit is never going to be as good. And I hate, like when Devers left, I hated relitigating. Oh, he left and now it hurts the Red Sox in XYZ ways. Like after a while, I was like, this is stupid. We got to move on. Like, let's talk about what's coming up next. With Bregman, since there are still moves to be made, it is so, so frustrating. You need defense. You need a bat, preferably a right-handed bat. Alex Bregman. But again, we can just go over this a million times. It's not going to change the fact that he's gone. So I'll just wither in my frustration forever.
Yeah, and it goes beyond fit too, right? Like, I mean, you can talk about how Bregman's the perfect fit, and then you go over options and how they fit in this lineup. You also got to go over price at this point too, because, you know, these guys, controllable guys, these rental guys, whatever. And then the thing that sucks is, and we'll kind of get to it later, my top pick, who I prefer, is Nico Horner. But what really sucks is it does not sound like the Cubs have any intention of moving him. And if that's the case, you're going to have to really wow them and overpay to kind of force their hand. And that's what it gets hairy, because, like, are you really willing to give up, let's say, a Connelly early for one guaranteed year of Nico Horner? No, I think that's crazy. But it's – and then you have Paredes, and he's, you know, they're harping on run prevention. he's not the best glove, but he's better bat than Horner. And then, like, you have these other guys, Brendan Donovan, like, good defensively, but it's a lefty bat. Like, none of the cleansers fit as Bregman. And then each of those fits has their own respective price. So you kind of have to mix and match what you prefer based on the player and what it takes to get them. And it's hard to do at this point.
It's not going to be perfect no matter which way they go. And to go back to the Tovar example, I kept seeing people be like, yeah, he's a great defender, but he strikes out too much. And it's true. That's totally true. He does strike out too much. That's a legit flaw, a really serious flaw. And I didn't respond to everyone who commented. There were a lot of comments, but whoever they get at this point, there's going to be he's good at A, but he doesn't do B very well. Because the only guy who didn't have that flaw or that kind of description is Alex Bregman.
Or Ketel Marte, which it's all in the same line of mess ups here that it hasn't gone that way. But you're right. Like, everything on the trade market, either it's they defend well, but they're not much of a bat in your lineup and you need that. They're a solid bat in the lineup, but they're an average to below average defender or a terrible defender. Or maybe the guy's not even available. The team doesn't want to trade him. Like, Joe, you want to bring up that that Ken Rosenthal quote that he's on fair territory. And this is what he said about the Red Sox and their pursuits.
Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic, my colleague there, wrote that the Red Sox really would prefer to play Marcelo Meyer at third and then get a second baseman, some kind of option there, a good defender who could really kind of round out their team. They've got one big move left in them, I believe. And if they do that, people will point toward Nico Horner. I don't know that the Cubs are going to trade Nico Horner. Brendan Donovan also out there in a trade, but the Red Sox don't necessarily want to go left-handed at that position. They're pretty left-handed as it is. So there are a lot of interesting things still to come.
Mm.
So, like, when I hear that quote, they have a big move left in them. It's probably going to be for a second baseman. So that would, I'm not going to say rule out, but that limits the belief that it would be Paredes. He's more of a third baseman. Granted, he can play second base. Then they talk about, wanting defense. So it's like, okay, maybe Paredes isn't the guy. Then you go to Nico Horner. Okay, they want a second baseman. They want to improve the defense. Nico Horner. But now Ken Rosenthal says they're not necessarily inclined to deal Nico Horner. Then you think, Brendan Donovan. But as Rosenthal points out, he's a lefty. The Red Sox probably want a righty. All of these options that are on the table, and there was that Cotillo tweet too where he said, yeah, the Red Sox are in serious talks about acquiring a bat. And I don't get the sense that it's someone that would be some big surprise. The only guys that fit the mold, like, there's only one, is it Matt Shaw? It might be Matt Shaw because he's the only guy that hits right-handed, can play second base, can be a good defender. If I don't know, like, he's not a perfect fit. It fits into the mold of everyone else, where it's like he does this, but he doesn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've become more and more sold on Matt Shaw as the days have gone by, and I'm certainly lowering the bar. But
yeah,
I don't dislike the guy.
I mean, he would shore up the defense. I think his bat has a lot left to show. Like, he was 98 OPS plus last year, so for all intents and purposes, that's an average hitter in his rookie season. That's not a bad thing. It's just not the impact bat the three of us were looking for. And I know it's cool. He's local. Like, I just don't know. Like, what are the Cubs going to want from him? Because the Cubs have the Red Sox, like, completely bent over a barrel with this. They have all the leverage in the world. They don't have to move Matt Shaw at all. He is not even remotely close. He is a free agent in 2032. He's not close to making money, and he's not close to being a free agent. And the Cubs, like I just said, don't need to move him. What do you even offer?
That's the problem is the Cubs. You look at their roster, you look at their lineup, like they're stacked in the rotation, they're stacked in the lineup. They're not going to take a reliever for Shaw. They've got a stacked farm system. Like, they're not, and Shaw's a kid, ton of control, 5 years left. Like, you're not going to trade Matt Shaw for prospects. I look at Sammy, you bring up the bat. What'd you say, 98 OPS plus for the year last year?
Yeah, I'll quickly run down his numbers. So he hit 226, 13 home runs. This is in 393 at-bats, by the way. 98 OPS plus, stole 17 bases. That's nice. And he was a 3.1 B-WAR player. So you hear those numbers, you go, those aren't super impressive offensive stats. They're not terrible. They're just not impressive. 3.1 BWAR is pretty good. So the defense would be why that number is so high. So that's a legit, a very, very legit glove. And again, very young player. I bet the defense could improve rather than decline anytime soon.
You look at the first half, second half splits. 63 games in the first half, 63 games in the second half. First half, hit 198, two home runs, 556 OPS. Mm-hmm. Second half, just the same 63 games, he hit 258, 11 home runs, 839 OPS. So that's a guy who I believe he was sent down in the middle of the year as well. Like he came back and figured it out and started to hit the ball. It's not a guy that's going to come cheap. So that's the question is if it's Matt Shaw, how does it line up?
Like he got sent down, I believe, because his batting stance was like, remember Edgar Renteria, how he was super closed. He would put his front foot much closer to home plate than his back foot, which normally you see the other way around. Matt Shaw kind of had that stance and he was getting blown away by inside pitches because he just couldn't turn in time.
Stanton does the same thing. Stanton is the most closed stance ever.
Right, but Stanton is a freak of nature and a former MVP. So he can get away with it. Matt Shaw is getting exposed, but he made a nice change. And, you know, like the numbers, again, not super impressive, but this is a 24-year-old rookie. So the ability to make improvements, I would say, that's the most impressive part of his offensive repertoire.
Two things. We haven't said it yet. There were rumors around the draft 2 years ago that they were all the way in on Matt Shaw.
Yep.
Local kid. He went to Indiana, I believe.
Maryland,
yes. Local kid. They knew him really well. They liked him in the draft. Obviously, didn't get him. So there definitely is a history of them being Matt Shaw fans there.
Pat, was that the Teal draft? And he went like one pick before?
I believe it was the Teal draft, yeah. Yeah, because the next year is Montgomery. Yeah, so it was the Teal draft.
2023, round one, 13th pick.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is so obviously the Savant page isn't all
the
showing.
Overall numbers because of the first half aren't that great.
Yes. Right?
I wish there was a
which
way to split Savant up for like
crazy
first half, second
because
half.
I have a Savant page up. So offensive, so batting wise, below 25th percentile is expected weighted on base, expected batting average, expected slug, average exit velo, hard hit percent, bat speed, squared up, and chase. His fielding, he's a below average fielder per Baseball Savant. 36th percentile outs above average, 33rd percentile arm strength. The only thing that is red on his entire Savant page is sprint speed. So it's weird because it's kind of, if on paper looks to be the weirdest 3-WAR season I've ever seen in my life. Again, though, this is a kid who this was his rookie year. He's 24. You're getting plenty of years of control. And then his track record kind of does speak for itself in the sense that he is known as a glove first guy with a solid bat. There's plenty of room for growth. But like we've been saying the whole time, you're getting him for 6 years of control. It's not a cheap price. They're not just going to give Matt Shaw away. And if that's the case, I don't know how comfortable the Sox can feasibly be giving up the package to get him.
I'm not saying the Cubs would do this, but if they asked for Toley, no. One for one for Matt Shaw.
Mm.
Nope.
That's the type of deal it would be. Like you, that's the problem.
I don't know if I'd do it, but that's what it would look like, I bet. It would be a young guy for a young guy. And that's the type of deal that GMs are terrified to make, because if another GM identifies your young guy better than you did, it's a really bad look.
Yeah. I mean, the type of trade, like for me, when they got Ranger Suarez, because I was going back and forth about whether I would rather hold on to Early or Toley if I had to pick one. But adding Ranger Suarez for 5 years, a guy with a floor, to me, shifted the pendulum towards me preferring to keep Toley, prefer the ceiling over the dude who you know is going to be a solid rotation piece, because we know the Red Sox have solid rotation pieces. You want to shoot for that upside. So if you told me it's Early and more for Shaw or Toley alone for Shaw, I'd probably lean towards Early. And on Shaw's defense, Pat pointed it out, 36th percentile outs above average, 33rd percentile arm strength. That was at third base last year. In his career, including minor leagues, he's played 1,788 and two-thirds innings at third base and he's played 304 and a third innings at second base and 369 innings at shortstop. So this is a guy who can move around the diamond, and if he comes to the Red Sox based off of Jen McCaffrey's report of them preferring to keep Marcelo Meyer on the left side of the infield, presumably you could move Matt Shaw over to second base, and the arm strength being 33rd percentile, maybe he's a better defensive second baseman than a third baseman. Pat?
Yeah, and then the other thing to keep in mind with the potential of a Matt Shaw trade is, historically speaking, the Cubs are not a team that really blow guys out of the water in terms of paying them early. So if they're comfortable sitting Matt Shaw and using him as a super utility guy for 1 year, if they don't feel good about their odds of bringing back Nico Horner, it's going to be harder, even harder, to pry Matt Shaw away. And that's when you're getting into, instead of early, it's Toley, and that gets really uncomfortable. But again, like, Nico Horner is a free agent after this upcoming season. If the Cubs like and believe in Matt Shaw, they have no real reason to move him. Because if you play him in the super utility role, it gives him looks in a couple of different spots. You get him fairly consistent at bats, builds his plate discipline, gives him the experience. Then when Horner's gone, he steps into second base, and they're saving money by not paying Nico Horner. And we know the Ricketts fucking love saving money.
It's a fair point. Also, worth noting, not trying to disprove what you said, Pat, but the Cubs do have a need for young pitching. They have a good MLB rotation, but I'm looking at their farm right now. They have Jackson Wiggins, great pitching prospect, by the way. He's in AAA, should be up in 2026. After that, it's pretty barren. Birdsell, who, I'm going to be honest, I don't really know much about Brandon Birdsell. He's 25.
Cade Horton, too, on the Major League staff.
Cade Horton. They've got five major league
dudes yes,
before Justin Steele, correct? Like, they've got a five-man rotation ready to go for opening day, and then Justin Steele's going to come back midseason.
Yeah.
Then they have one legit prospect.
They have Edward Cabrera, Cade Horton, Shota Imanaga, Matt Boyd, Steele is coming back.
Who's that guy that pitched against the Red Sox?
Oh, you have Tyone.
Jameson Tyone, and I'm missing another
Ray.
One.
Colin Ray, that's who I was Colin thinking of. The guy who, like, he pitched against the Sox last year, and we're like, this guy's a bum, and then we looked at his numbers. It's like, actually, he's been frying teams.
This is funny.
Quick little tangent. Two of my closest friends, my neighbors growing up, they live like a street over. Good friends of mine. They're originally from Chicago, but they grew up in Massachusetts. But we have this group chat, and we always talk about baseball and football, and they're big Cubs fans. And I was saying how I think Colin Ray is a really good, like, depth piece and everything. And then a few months later, my friends in the group chat were like, oh, we really like Colin Ray. He has been really good. So our group chat name is now the Colin Ray Fan Club. And I still have that on my phone.
Wow.
Yep. I can show you, too. It's real.
So they've got Boyd, Cabrera, Horton, Imanaga, Tyon, Ray as the sixth starter, Steele coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's not like they're in a position where you add Toley or Early and they slot right into the rotation. And then if you're talking about trading them an outfielder, whether it be Duran or Brave, whatever. And I know none of us want to trade a Brave, but you got to loop him in for now. If you trade him Duran, what that does is it pushes Seiya Suzuki to DH, and then Ballesteros doesn't have a spot, which isn't the end of the world.
They probably want that, though. They don't like Seiya in right field. He's not good out there.
Yeah. But it's like they also probably – I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they feel about Ballesteros as a catcher, but the scouting reports don't necessarily have him as the greatest defensive catcher of all time. It's like, how are we going to fit this guy, a top 50 prospect in the sport? How are we going to find a spot for him at some point?
I wonder – one thing that could get a little bit interesting here, they have three fairly good catchers. I wonder if this is a package that gets built out a little bit, because we know the Sox are in the market for catching depth.
Yeah,
they have Miguel Amaya, who's 26, Moises Ballesteros, who's 20, going to be, or no, he is 22, and then Carson Kelly had a phenomenal year last year. So that's something actually that I just realized could get a little bit interesting.
I honestly don't have much interest in any of those guys. Like, Kelly, I don't think they'll move. Amaya is just defense. Right? Am I crazy? Isn't he just like a defensive guy?
He hit 280. He only got 96 at bats last year, but
he had a 1-1 war in how many games? 28 games in a 1-1 war. Had an 14 OPS. But Sammy, before that, his 2 years, 117 games, 644 OPS. The year before that, his first year, 53 games, 688 OPS.
Ballesteros is the opposite. He hits, but he's a clunker back there. He's also 5'8", 200 pounds, which is sexy.
He's only 5'8".
He's 5'8".
Oh, my God. Yeah, so they're the type of team that, like, they could stand pat right now and be totally fine. Like, they do not have to make a deal to make a deal. You need the deal more than they need the deal. And that's what sets you up to potentially overpay. That's what sets them up to say, listen, we are not trading Nico Horner unless you give us a mega prospect. And to me, I mean, I know I'm not the biggest Nico Horner guy around, but even if I did like the guy, am I really trading Peyton Tolley or Connolly Early or any of these guys for a rental?
No fucking shot. Are you that would be
I was saying no to the same thing last year for Merrill Kelly. Like, and I liked Merrill Kelly.
That would be so counter to the way the Red Sox have operated. Like, we don't feel great about them extending guys on expiring deals. Like, sure, they've done it with Crochet, Chapman. Like, not that they were on expiring deals, but, like, they've extended guys is my point. I would be so uncomfortable with the idea of trading for Nico Horner with the intent to extend him, with the way that this front office has just bungled negotiations over and over again. We don't have to go over Bregman another time, but I'm with you, Gordo. That's nuts to me. I would, however, consider Duran for Shaw. Duran and a prospect for Shaw, whatever.
I would too. Pat?
Yeah, I mean, it gets a little, it's interesting just because it does feel like Duran is the obvious big trade piece here. Are you willing to move Duran for Matt Shaw instead of flipping him for either a leverage reliever, replenish the farm? You got to, it's all strategy in terms of how you decide to move or use Jaron Duran's value. I think I would do it. But that's also without knowing what other teams who have called on Duran are offering.
Well, you'd have to look at it like you're trading him for a stud prospect, because Matt Shaw, I mean, he's got five years and he's a guy that's 1 year removed from being a stud prospect, and he put together a really good second half. So you'd have to look at it like that. To me, the one thing, I just try to look at what the Sox have done so far this offseason. Like, they clearly have a direction they see themselves going. And I'm trying to figure out, because for the last half decade, it's been, all right, sustainability. We're gonna play this for the long run. We're gonna try to win now, but we're really trying to win for the next half decade. This offseason, they've made a couple of moves, maybe a few moves, depending on how you look at it, that say that we're trying to win this year. Like Sonny Gray, he's a one-year pitcher. Wilson Contreras, he's got 2 years of control, three if he plays well, but he's 34. Ranger Suarez, you paid him $130 million, but you're trying to win in the beginning of that contract. That's how free agent contracts work. So in theory, trading for Matt Shaw with the hopes that in time he grows with Roman and Marcelo and Campbell and these young guys, Tolley or whatever, into the team, the next great Red Sox team, maybe it's not aligned with the sort of window they're trying to open themselves. But at the same time, they have not shown to be willing to deal big pieces for rentals. So it's like, what's in the middle of that? And that's where I keep coming back to Isak Paredes, where he's got 2 years of control. So it's not like he's a rental, but it's also not like you're trading for a guy who you're projecting out. Like, you're trading for a guy hoping he can be what he is now for you guys. But then obviously Craig Breslow says what he said. Joe, do you mind pulling up that Craig Breslow quote from the Ranger Suarez press conference? That's where the Isak Paredes thing kind of, it makes me question it, because he's not the perfect fit based off of this quote.
You know, getting Ranger and Sonny and all these guys, the focus is on run prevention, pitching run prevention. How important is it if you do acquire another infielder that he's a good defensive player, that, like, he's a plus defender at third base or second base?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Mom, I like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation or innovators keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Sure, defense is a significant contributor to run prevention, right? We tend to get caught up in the pitching side of this, but there are other key components as well. Defense being the most obvious, and so it's really important that we improve our defense, particularly our infield defense. I would argue we have the best defensive outfield in baseball, but we led the league in errors last year, and our out conversion needs to be improved. I think there are some things that we've already started to do internally to reprioritize that, but also any additions that we may make, we'll be very mindful of the defensive skill set.
So here's my question to you guys after hearing that quote, because obviously he was asked by Chris Smith about defense. It's like, listen, you're getting Ranger Suarez. Is it fair to say that you're leaning into run prevention? He was set up to give an answer about defense. Does the quote that Breslow just gave there push you to believe that they will not add a player that is not an above average infield defender?
Not really. I mean, Craig Breslow says they want to focus on defense. Trevor Story's coming off a monumental fall off defensively in 2025. And he's already named him the starting shortstop. So I don't really take much of what Breslow says as gospel. I think that he could, if they can't find a guy, he will find a spin to say like, oh, this guy's defense isn't great, but XYZ. So,
but we think we can do something with him to improve on these numbers. Like, that's the thing is, he was set up to give an answer, and people took the quote and ran with it as if, okay, this guy's only going to add an elite defender and this is going to be the strategy. Maybe it is the strategy. To me, the quote doesn't necessarily set me up to believe, okay, like definitely it's going to be Isak Paredes, but I think people got that quote and immediately said, okay, it's going to be a stud defensive infielder. Those are the only options. And I think what Sammy said, I think you can spin anything and they can get Isak Paredes. And then you can say, well, those defensive metrics are at third base. We're going to play him at second and we think he can be better at second. Or, oh, well, we've seen some things. We think we can – maybe we'll play Marcelo at second. We think, you know, Paredes can become an above-average defensive third baseman. He's only 26. He was hurt last year. Like, there's a million different things you can say to spin, and that's what they've done this offseason. Like, don't forget, they started this offseason saying we need home run power in the middle of the lineup, and now they're going to spin it around what they have added and say, like, we think we can do this with what we got.
And you go further back, they said they're going to be aggressive and decisive, and not following that is what has led us here to talking about run prevention rather than offense and Ranger Suarez and this and that. By the way, good framing by Smitty to mention how Suarez and it kind of sets them up for a run prevention built roster. And I've been thinking about Matt Shaw the whole time we've been discussing this, and I'm like, I'm very in the middle on it. I feel like he kind of fits the in between, along with Tovar from our last episode, kind of fits the in-between, but you need things to go right.
You know who else is interesting? I was just digging up a couple of names. Xavier Edwards is someone who's really interesting. I don't know if Miami would move him, but 3.2 WAR last year. He hit 283, stole 27 bags, and he's 77th percentile outs above average in second base. But like, that's the kind of box you're in at this point based on those Breslow comments. Is like, you're looking at guys with low strikeout, low to fairly low strikeout, decent walk rate, good glove, can hit for a little bit of average. That seems to be what they're targeting. And that's when you get into the realm of Matt Shaw. If Nico Horner wasn't a rental, Nico Horner, the Xavier Edwards, those faces and names of the world. But it does seem like that. It didn't necessarily rule out Isak Paredes, but it definitely didn't endorse Isak Paredes.
Agreed. That's how I'd look at it. I don't think Breslow is going to rule anything out. And we've gotten reports since that quote, like John Heyman reported that the Red Sox are talking to the Astros. So clearly they've got hands in every box right now. Oh God. I didn't just say that.
Whoa. Hey.
Whoa.
Wow. Whoa. Hands in every box.
Whoa.
I hope not. That would be,
oh no.
That would be very bad news and maybe a good time for a news dump. Gordo just left. Gordo just dunked on himself and walked off. Pat, Xavier Edwards, that's when you're in the territory of like, is this guy a slap hitter?
Crap.
Like, I don't, that's so, like Nico Horner, the offense, like he'll hit you some doubles here and there, steals bags, high batting average, all that. Great defense. Xavier Edwards, that's a stretch for me. He's not a bad player. It's just fit-wise, like...
Yeah, I mean, it's speed, defense, decent walk-to-strikeout ratio.
It's speed, defense, and contact.
His
speed,
home runs,
defense, and contact, and he's controlled.
I know.
That's what it is.
His home runs per...
Listen to this. Home runs per 162?
Three.
Last year, he hit three. 2024, he hit one. 2023, in 84 plate appearances, he didn't hit any.
That's like shittier Juan Pierre.
But that's the thing is like, do you want to target defense? Do you want to target contact? Do you want to target speed? Like there's your guy.
That's what I'm saying.
But get both. That's defense, what I'm contact, saying. Speed. Like, that's
who's
why
both?
I brought up
who's both. That, who's both?
Like Matt Shaw, I think could be both.
Could be. Okay. Right. Yes, Matt Shaw could be both. But you don't know. You could get any infield prospect. Any infield prospect, and you could make the same arguments.
Right.
He could be both. You're going to say Tovar, but Tovar. You're not getting contact.
No.
And you may not get power. Maybe you'll get power. We'll see.
I think you'll get power with Tovar. He had 26 home runs. I was thinking about this the other day. 26 home runs in Colorado, 45 doubles. If you chop 10 off of that and you have a gold glove shortstop who hit you 16 home runs and 35 doubles, that's still a really good player. Everyone was commenting, Coors Field. I'm like, okay, so slash the numbers and you're still getting a good player. But then now you're in the territory of like, is that even a good bat? Like, is that a below average bat? I think it's still at least an average bat.
Yeah, I think it is too. But it's like, what do the Red Sox need? Because you're not getting the perfect player. The perfect player
is Alex Bregman.
Was Alex Bregman. And now you're basically, you have to decide control versus non-control, power versus contact, defense and speed versus production at the plate. Like you're going to maybe be at best case. Like this is why I like Isak Paredes the most, is he's the only guy who I think has the potential to check every box.
I think he's going to become a plus defender? I would be surprised if he was average. He's a little below.
That's the thing. It's like, I would say you're going to get a good contact player. You're not getting a rental. You have a chance for 30 home runs. He's done it before, and he's in a good ballpark that supports it. The defense could be average. That's why I will go with that. He was a little bit below average the last couple of years. Last year he was... what, 25th below percentile? But the year before was like, what, 40th?
He has good numbers at second base too, but he hasn't played there since 2023. If he could play, if Paredes goes to second base and is average, I'll just say average. I was going to say average to slightly above average. If Paredes goes to second base and he's average, I am fucking thrilled with that. I will gladly take that. I just don't know if he can do it. It's been 3 years.
Well, the Astros at their fan fest, which, by the way, Paredes was not at. Neither was Christian Walker. Neither of those guys were there. Most of the team outside of those two guys was there. The important guys were there. Those two were not. I believe it was the GM. I think it was the GM said that Isak Paredes is going to get reps at second base this year.
Dana Brown?
Okay.
I believe so, yeah.
So obviously someone from their infield is probably going to go, and it would change that whether, like, if Christian Walker goes, Paredes is going to play first base. If Paredes goes, obviously he's not playing second base for them. But it does tell you something that their idea for him right now, if everything stays in place, which is still a possibility, their idea for Paredes is that he's going to play second base.
And if the Red Sox trade for him, I will assume that he's going to play second base with the Meyer comment of them wanting him to play third. And then think about it. Okay, Narvaez catching. We're all happy with that defense. Wilson Contreras, very good defender at first base. Not a plus position. Great, whatever. Still a good defender. Paredes at second. Let's be extremely generous and say that he's an average defender at second base, even though we haven't seen it in a while. Fine with that. Story at shortstop. Declining big time defensively. Maybe a little better than the numbers would lead you to believe, but not a plus defender anymore. I'm pretty confident saying that. Meyer, next to him at third base, cleans up some of that. He's a plus defender for sure. And he's got some utility. That's good. Outfield defense, you could say, is the best in Major League Baseball. I don't think anyone would argue with that. At that point, not the same as Bregman, not as clean of a fit. I would be okay with that. That would be fine. I would give the Red Sox a C offseason, which that's a passing grade.
You can't be playing for the A plus anymore. The A plus is out. You've already missed enough questions.
Well, Ketel Marte, if they get Ketel somehow, I would consider the A.
Right, but that's almost like you handed in the test, but let me grab that back from the teacher and change a few answers. It's like, okay, you can take the shot and ask the teacher, but he's not giving you that test back.
Hey, I don't care how you got there. If they get Ketel Marte, I'm not gonna be like, I don't like how they did it. Like, they got it.
No, but I don't care about how they did it. I'm just saying they're not, like, the Diamondbacks are not going to give you the test back.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, almost no shot the Red Sox trade for Ketel Marte. But that's the only scenario in which I could give them an A grade. But that defensive alignment I just laid out, it's good enough to where in the playoffs, if Suarez is on the mound, well, I'm just thinking infield, because Suarez is ground ball guy. Suarez and Orbeo on the mound, I wouldn't feel awful about it. I'd probably feel good with Suarez at least.
Well, think about where the defense is at. And obviously they've got a few of the highest ground ball rates among starting pitchers in the majors. So obviously, like, you'd prefer to have a really good infield defense behind them. And that's where the whole pitching and defense, trying to get a Nico Horner type, like, that's where that idea comes from. But when you look at the playoff teams or just any of the teams in Major League Baseball, and you look at every single position on the diamond and you're saying, okay, like, left field has a chance to be elite. Center field's going to be elite. Right field's going to be elite. First base is going to be really good. Third base is going to be really good. Catcher's going to be elite. And then the middle infield spots are going to be average. Like, you don't have a weak spot in the field. You do have weak spots in the lineup. So that's why my head goes to, I want them to add the best hitter they can possibly add, because they don't have weak spots on the defense. Like, their guys can pick each other up. Like, this is going to be a good defense, or at least it should be. If it's not, we got a problem. The offense, on the other hand, has a chance to be, and, like, this is a testament to the Red Sox teams that we've had in the last 20 years, even the non-playoff teams, they've all had good offenses. This has a chance to be a below average offense by OPS plus, by WRC plus, not factoring in the Fenway Park. So That's why I want to target offense, but there's just not that much out there.
I know that I've been giving you crap, like, oh, you want the home runs and everything. But the more I look at this team, I'm like, how are they got to add someone with some thump? Like, it has to be a guy who at least has the upside. Again, sorry to keep going back to him, but that's why I thought of Tovar, because at least you can sell yourself on maybe he puts up those big offensive numbers. Again, he's only 24. But when you're looking at a guy like Bryson Stott, who a few weeks ago I was trying to talk myself into, he's been in the league for years and he has never been a plus bat, or at least an impactful plus bat. That I can't do. I cannot do that. And I love the defense. He runs well. Fantastic. It's got to be more than that. And then you look at Brendan Donovan, another guy who puts up good offensive numbers, but it's not because he's adding thump. He's slapping the ball around and he makes the plays when he's playing third base, decent at second, whatever. That's not going to do it for me either. And that's without even talking about the opportunity costs. The Red Sox are so backed into a corner right now with the amount of moves they can make. I have no clue what Craig Breslow is going to do or how he's going to wiggle his way out of this.
Well, that's exactly the point. They're in this situation because this is the corner they've painted themselves into. Because Bregman was the cleanest fit. You get Bregman back, this is, I mean, a, a really, really good offseason. But that being said, you lose out on Bregman. You then have to pivot. You load up the rotation. We're, just to be abundantly clear, we are not complaining about the rotation. The rotation is unbelievable. That being said, though, the equation only works if the defense is up to par with the ground ball pitching. And that's what sucks, because if you focus on that, the chances you find somebody who upgrades you defensively and offensively at this point in the offseason is pretty slim. That's why, like, Horner, you know, gets on base, steals bags, elite defense. Like that, I prefer that. But if they kind of go back on their word and get a Paredes, awesome. Like the offense is much, much better. But the defense is questionable with all these ground ball pitchers you just added. Like, no matter what they do, it's not going to be a 100% clean fit. It's going to be a wait and see with no matter who they pick.
Question for you guys, just about Paredes specifically. We just went through this whole thing with Devers and his lack of clubhouse charisma, whatever the fuck you want to call it. He wasn't a good clubhouse guy, the Red Sox thought. Isak Paredes, I don't know anything about the guy personally, but he has been on 1, 2, 3, 4 teams in his first 6 years as a big leaguer, and he's put up good numbers throughout. Does that give you guys any concern, or we think it's just kind of like he's been a victim of circumstance?
I wouldn't say concern, but I also, it's somewhere in the middle, because if this guy was seen as, oh my God, he's a cornerstone player and person, then he's not getting dealt the amount that he is. But he also has been a victim of circumstance. Like, he was dealt as a kid from Detroit to get Austin Meadows. The Rays dealt him because he had a few years of control left. That's when they trade guys. The Cubs dealt him so that they could get a superstar in Kyle Tucker. Like, you do what you can to get that guy. And then the Astros, if they trade him here, it's because they've got 5 infielders for 4 spots, and they got to pick someone to deal, and no one wants Christian Walker, and the other guys are all franchise players or franchise icons who are like Altuve is like, you're not trading that guy. You're not trading. You just traded for Carlos Correa. He's another franchise icon. You don't want to trade Jeremy Peña. He's your best infielder. So it's a little bit of both, because if he was as good as Jeremy Peña, and if he was seen as that important to the clubhouse, then it would be someone else being discussed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered 1 pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first 2 orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
But I don't think it necessarily reflects well on him either, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So kind of just going further on what you just said, he was dealt from Detroit for what they saw as a big offensive upgrade in Austin Meadows. That's just capitalizing on his value when he was young. Goes to Tampa. Tampa, if he were still there, they have Aranda, Caminero, Diaz. Like they had, and at the time they had Wander Franco. Like he went from a loaded infield to a loaded infield with no position for him to play. He then gets dealt over to Chicago. Chicago is starving for a star. Again, capitalize on his value. He's one of the centerpieces going to Houston. And again, he's dealt to a place that just has abundance of infield options. I don't think it's necessarily a showing of like poor clubhouse or poor player. I think all these teams see incredible value in Isak Paredes, and then it just gets to a point where they have younger, better, more controllable talent, and he's just kind of forced out, like not even on his own volition. It's just he's a victim of the circumstance basically everywhere he goes. And again, it's because he is getting moved because he has so much value.
That's why excuse me. Jesus, I almost just choked on my Duncan, which would have been a very New England thing. That's why I wanted to give him that out, that maybe he's a victim of circumstance. And we spoke about this a few weeks ago. Very, very weird player to analyze because, like we've said, the surface numbers, we've gone over them quite a bit. They're all good. They've been good throughout his career. But the underlying numbers are very strange. Not hitting the ball hard, not making square contact. Very strange. But again, like if the surface numbers are still coming out positive, how much do you look into these weird peripheral numbers?
Very, if it's consistent.
Right. And then you have, like, is that why he's been moved around? Is he scaring teams off by, what did you say, Gordo? Oh, he places the ball.
He places the ball over the wall.
He's not hitting it hard. He's like, I'm going to put it, boink, right here, over
first
the monster.
Row.
Yes, 311-foot home run counts just the same as that 472-foot home run by you.
Who needs Manny? Come on, 500 feet, we don't care.
Yeah, Rafael Devers, dude, you hit the ball way too hard. We want gentleman-like home runs.
It's exerting too much energy. Listen, I do it efficiently.
Is that it? He's a gentleman. Isak Paredes is a gentleman. He doesn't want to show up the pitcher. He's like, hey, I see this pitch. I could torch it 485 feet, but I'm going to just sneak it over the wall so you don't feel that bad about yourself. Doink.
You can blame someone else. It was the weather's fault. In the cold weather, that's caught.
Yeah, and I didn't even hit it that hard. It just backspun out. So listen, yeah. Man, keep doing your thing. So maybe that's it. He's the ultimate good guy to a fault. There you have it.
So, okay, to put a bow on it before we get to enough said, how many seasons – my baseball memory starts in 2003. How many seasons since 2003 – have the Red Sox finished with a below average offense, below 15th by WRC plus?
Since 2003, like two or three?
I'm going to go two.
It's three times. They were 17th in 2012. They were 25th in 2014. And they were 22nd in 2017. They still made the playoffs that year. It was the year after they lost Ortiz. I have no idea how.
2020 is not on that list.
2020, they
were
11th.
I don't even count that. I don't even count that.
They were 11th?
Dude, you don't forget the pitch. Like, the pitching was why they was. Dude, they had Mike Kickham starting games.
Dude, Verdugo was like the greatest player ever that year.
Tim Mayza.
Outside of the MVP.
2020.
Tim Mayza.
Yeah. Oh, Tim.
They didn't
Tim Mayza.
Not Tim Mayza. Jeff Springs. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, Jeffrey Springs. Yeah, they sure had him. Robert Triggs. Stock. Let's go.
Godley.
Zach Godley grunting. But yeah, this is where I'm getting at with this is. Right now, I feel like they have the potential. Like, they're not going to be in my opinion, a top 8 or 9 offense by WRC, maybe by OPS because they're in Fenway Park. They're not going to be an elite offense. But don't put yourself in a position where you have to be an elite pitching staff to overcome like the 17th or 18th ranked offense. Put yourself in a position where you can be where you've been like the last several years. 2021, they were 6th. 22, they were 12th. 23, they were 15th. 24, they were 10th. 25, they were 11th. If you're in that realm and you have elite pitching and good defense, you're going to be a playoff team. You're going to give yourself a shot. Pat? Yeah.
Just a little bit of housekeeping on, because I thought they had Tim Mazza. Not that I thought they had Tim Mazza. I confused him with Chris Mazza. That was who was in the rotation. A key member in that rotation in 2020.
Traded with Jeffrey Springs.
Yes, started 9 games. Started 9 games. Him, Zach Godley.
He got 9 starts. Chris Mazza got 9 starts on that team.
Chris Mazza got 9 starts. Pitched in 9 games, started 6. Zach Godley pitched in 8 games, started 7.
Wow.
I didn't miss single. Oh, Webb, big Webb. I didn't miss a single game in 2020. I had moved to Rhode Island for this like school program I was doing. So I was all alone. My friends were all an hour and a half north. So I watched every single 2020 Red Sox game and it was awful. Hated every second of it.
You did get to see Bobby Dalbec hit a home run in 5 straight games though.
Yeah. And that bought him about 4 years of leeway with Red Sox fans.
It sure did.
And Robinson Lear. Do you guys remember
Lair.
Him? Lair.
Oh, yeah.
6 games, 1 start, 21.21 ERA, never pitched in the majors again.
They call him the Lair.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing with this team is it's going to – every, let's say, 50 or 60 episodes, we're going to get into this exact discussion about the guys who pitched for that team.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Thank you for Marcelo Meyer. Thank you, Robinson Lair, for getting us Marcelo Meyer.
Yep. And then also that, like I said, that season is where they identified Alex Verdugo as the future of the Red Sox moving forward. And as it stands today, he's a key cog in the lineup. So that's fun.
He indirectly led to them getting which deal did Fitz? Was it Contreras that Fitz went in? No, that was Dobbins. Fitz went for Sonny.
Yeah. So basically that 2020 Red Sox got the 2026 Red Sox. Sonny Gray. There it is. Woohoo.
All right, Sammy, you want to go? Enough said.
Yeah. So some personal news. This weekend, I went up to Portland, Maine, had a great time, and my girlfriend and I got engaged. She did not say no. She said yes. Thank you.
Because, you mean your fiance?
Yeah, now my fiance. Now I can say I don't want to spoil the story, but
it
my fiance.
Really weird coming out of your mouth right now, right? Fiance.
Yeah, we actually spoke about that. Like, can we still call each other boyfriend and girlfriend? We've been calling each other ex-boyfriend and ex-girlfriend because we're no longer. But the funny part is, so she's from Seattle. If you remember her baseballs and boring appearance, her tattoo bet, she was part of that. Big Mariners fan. She has a Nelson Cruz jersey, so she's been a Mariners girl for a while. And I just thought it was funny that she got a ring before the Mariners got a ring. So let's also hope that her Seahawks don't get a ring because that might come at the Patriots' expense. We'll find out after this recording.
Shout out to Sammy. Congrats to you, my brother.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
Kylie's been with you since we've all known each other. So
yeah,
very awesome to see you guys take that step and excited for the wedding.
Ooh. Joe?
And I hope I get an invite, unlike to Gordo's wedding. But
I didn't know you, Joe. I didn't know you when we set out the invite, Joe.
I know. I just like to bring it up every time. Dude. I got it. No,
go
Sammy,
ahead,
I was
going
to say, Sammy, the photo you sent us, two things. One, surprising you actually did it on that day, which was incredibly freezing cold. Ugh. And two, seeing you with your one knee in the snow, I was afraid you weren't going to get up because of the arthritis.
So I went over. I slept at my best friend's house the night before. I've known since preschool. And I have all these pictures of me fake proposing to him, seeing if my knee would work. Because Kylie was staying up in like northern Maine. She was doing a teaching thing. So I had to practice the night before. I made sure my knee was functional. It was fine. And by the way, I booked these plans like 4 weeks ago. And then maybe a week and a half ago, we start to hear, oh, by the way, the storm from hell is coming. Yeah. And it's not going to hit New England. Don't worry. And then 2 days later, oh, sorry, it's actually going to hammer New England right around the time that you plan on doing your proposal. So luckily we got in to Maine. It was great. Good time. And we are back safely less than a day later. We did not get too badly hit by the storm up there.
The thing is, you plan these things out so far in advance. It's like you're locked in. Like
it can't be perfect.
It can't be perfect, but super happy for you guys. That was like Sammy had texted us at some point. It was like, okay, like something's happening, but like, I'll tell you guys later. It's like, okay. And then that's the picture. Oh my God.
Instantaneously knew you were going to propose once you sent that text.
Did you really?
Oh my God. Yeah. It was like, won't be around, headed up to Maine, parentheses, good thing. And then it was like, we'll text you guys after. I'm like, he's definitely proposing.
100%. I was being superstitious.
Right, that's on me.
I didn't want to tell you guys. Yeah, I don't want to give it away. And then, like, what if she was like, fuck no, and kicked me into the water?
I didn't know we were serious.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. And then I splash and freeze, and then I die, and then the Red Sox do a bad news dump. There we go.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah,
full
circle. Red Sox podcaster dies, and so does Masa's Red Sox career.
Along with Peyton Tolley, who was attached to him for the salary relief.
Oh, my God. All right, Pat, you got anything?
I do. As we are recording, we are 30 minutes to kickoff. Big game today. I heard this years ago. Are you guys familiar with Bussin' with the Boys, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton?
Okay. Yep.
So I don't know if this is their phrase, whatever it is, but they were talking about Riley Moss, the Broncos corner. And somewhere on Twitter this week, they were like, Drake May got it, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, got to go with the milk check. Got to go with the milk check. A milk check is when you throw at anybody white on the defense.
Milk check.
And I was in tears because I heard it when they first said it years ago. And they're like, yeah, it's going to be a big milk check game. And I just started losing my shit.
That's
because
great.
That's what they used to say when they would throw at Will Compton when he played for the then Redskins and everywhere else. He's like, I was always a victim of the milk check because they would just get burned.
Can we give our predictions for the game so that when people listen, they'll know if we were right or wrong?
Give me your prediction, and if you predict the Pats to win by 20 and they lose, then it's your fault.
Okay, I think Patriots win 20-13.
Also, Pat, if Riley Moss picks sixes today, it's also your fault.
In Pat's defense, I've heard so many football analysts like Denver, New England, and neutral, and they've all been like, this guy's okay, but he takes a lot of penalties. Probably target him and not Sertan.
Oh, yeah. Everyone says go after him.
Joe, what the fuck? Patrick Sertan was your most important player. I saw that on WEEI. More than Drake May?
Well, if you listen to the Christian Arcand show, I explained that May just needs another. By this time next year, that will probably be flip-flopped.
Wow, Joe.
Joe, what's your score prediction? Is Pat Sertan about to pick six twice and lead the Broncos to victory?
No, he's not. I said Friday on radio that Pats win 23-10, and I'm going to stick with it.
All right. I'm taking Pats 17-13. Pat, what do you got?
I am going to go with Pats win 17-13.
Great minds, buddy.
All very low scoring. I like
it's
that.
I think it's gonna.
I
be.
Like that.
But yeah, my enough said. Pat, you go ahead, and then I'll.
I could be so. I have like the pregame on mute in the background. I'm fairly certain that Steve Belichick is with Jarrett Stidham's family on the Broncos sideline right now.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, we'll look up on Twitter to verify that in a sec. But my enough said is. Appreciate you tuning in the day after a big game because either they won and you're thinking Pats or they lost and you're not thinking about anything. So I'm either really happy for you or I'm sorry that happened. And this is speaking to my future self as well. So shout out to all the Pats Red Sox fans out there. And that's going to do it for episode 312 of Play Tessy. For us, we got 25 minutes to kick off. For you, you've got 4.5 days left in the work week. Appreciate you tuning in. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. We're on the socials at Play Tessy on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for Play Tessy episode 312. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame Sun.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Shop up to 40% off site-wide, plus an extra 10% off every order and a free professional measure happening right now at Blinds.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.